present Brothers-in-Law by Henry Cecil and Basil Dawson, starring Richard Briers with John Glyn Jones, Julia Lockwood, Bridget Armstrong, Gerald Cross, and David Jason. Episode 5, Polite Notice.
Roger, darling.
Yes, Joy?
Where are you taking me?
Well, a little pub I know down by the river.
Is it far?
Not very.
Then let's stop here.
What for?
Can't you guess?
For a stretch of legs?
No.
For a look at the view?
What view?
Well, there's a very fine example of the Victorian gasworks around the next corner.
Darling, I do love you.
You can't.
Why not?
Well, I suppose you couldn't away. It depends what you mean by love.
I'll show you, shall I?
Show me.
Pull into the side of the road, Roger, and switch off.
We're supposed to be going for a drink.
There'll be plenty of time for a drink after.
After what?
After I've shown you what I mean by loving you.
Oh, that.
Yes, darling, that. Do stop, Roger.
Don't.
I'm not going to eat you, darling. At least I might, but only in the nicest possible way.
I mean, I daren't stop here on the highway.
This isn't a highway. It's quite a little road.
It's still legally the highway.
Well, there's no law against stopping, is there?
There might be. If the car was liable to cause an obstruction, I daren't risk it. I had a bit of a set-to with the copper end of this morning because I left the car outside my mother's house. Only there for half an hour.
You think we might be longer than that?
Once you start showing me, there's no saying how long we'll be.
Darling, you see that sort of yard over there by the railway embankment? If we stopped there, it wouldn't be on the highway, would it?
No. Hold tight, here we go.
Roger.
Yes, Joy?
Put your arms around me.
Yes, Joy.
Kiss me, darling.
Yes, Joy.
Do you understand now, darling?
I'm beginning to get the hang of it.
Then, kiss me again.
Sorry, a bit awkward manoeuvring in here.
Put your leg the other side of the gear lever.
What? Like this.
Lovely.
Ah!
What's the matter?
Cramp.
Where?
Here.
That's not your leg, it's mine.
Sure it is. Go on. Oh, it's all right. Cramp's gone. Now, where were we?
You were just going to kiss me again.
That's right. I knew there was something.
Darling.
Yes, darling.
I do love you, darling.
Do you, darling?
Yes, darling. Do you, darling?
Do I what, darling?
Love. Love me, darling.
Ah.
Go on. Say it. Say you do.
I do.
Say, I do love you, Joy.
I do love kissing you, Joy.
I suppose that's a step in the right direction. Or do you just mean you love kissing anybody?
Not anybody, certainly not.
What about Sally?
I'd rather not talk about Sally now.
Do you kiss her like this?
There's no such thing as a kiss in vacuo.
In what?
In vacuo. It's a legal expression.
Darling, you're not in court now.
I noticed that.
What does it mean anyway, a kiss in vacuo?
Well, it means it takes two people to kiss. Now, while I'm kissing you, it's a kiss between you and me.
Like this.
And while I'm kissing Sally, it's a kiss between me and her. They're quite different.
While you're kissing me, I don't think you should talk about kissing Sally.
But you asked me.
And you gave me the wrong answer. You should have said you didn't kiss her at all.
Well, it wouldn't have been true.
Well, what's that got to do with it?
I never lied to you, John.
Then you'll have to learn, darling. There are some things girls prefer to be lied to about.
You can't say that.
Why not?
No, sorry. Lied to about. There's two prepositions at the end of the sentence.
I wish you'd stop talking, darling, and kiss me again.
Right. Then we can go and have that drink. All this has given me quite a thirst. Darling Joy.
Roger, don't.
What?
There's a policeman watching us.
Where? Where? Oh, yes, yes. That's all right. Just ignore him. He'll go away.
You sure?
Sure, of course I'm sure. Quite sure. There's no law against kissing. And the car is not on the highway.
Oh, if you say so.
I do.
Well, you're a barrister. You should know. But it'd be too degrading if he came snooping up and tapped on the window.
He won't. I know the law about these things.
Mm. Roger? He tapped.
So he did.
You don't think he's going to...
Shh, look, you calm, calm. Nothing to worry about. I know how to handle this. Ah, good evening, officer.
Good evening, sir. May I ask what you're doing here?
I'm spending the night with a friend. Not the night. the evening. What I mean is spending part of the evening with a friend.
So I see. And how long have you been here?
Well, we've just worked up a good thirst, I'd say about, three-quarters of an hour, wouldn't you, Joyce?
I haven't been counting.
Say 40 to 45 minutes. Nothing wrong with that, is there?
I'm afraid there is.
And I'm afraid you're wrong, officer. We are not on the highway, you know.
No, I know you're not.
I made a point of pulling off the road after what happened this morning.
This morning? What was that?
I had a bit of a set-to with another. What I mean is... one of your colleagues had occasion to warn me about leaving my car outside my mother's house, so this evening I was especially careful.
Not careful enough, I'm afraid.
I'm afraid I don't know what you mean, officer. You agree this isn't part of the highway.
That's right, it isn't. But it happens to be...
Then, if I may say so, it's no business of yours whether we're here or not.
If you'll let me finish what I was saying, sir.
There's nothing more to say, officer. No offence has been committed.
I dare say that's what you think.
It's what I know.
And you do also know that this is railway property? And that it happens to be an offence under the bylaws to leave a car on railway property?
Oh, Roger.
Oh, dear. Wait a minute. I haven't left the car. I'm in it. Look at me. Here I am.
I'd sooner look at the young lady. But in it or out of it, this car's been left here for 45 minutes.
A 40 to 45?
Call it 40 if you like. It makes no difference.
I didn't know.
Well, of course you didn't. You can't be expected to know all the laws.
But he does. He's a barrister.
Ah. Oh, in that case, you understand the position, sir.
I'm afraid I do.
And you'll understand, I must now tell you, that you needn't say anything unless you wish to, but anything you do say...
will be taken down in writing and may be given in evidence.
If you are charged with an offence.
Don't worry, Roger. Uncle Alfred will rally round.
Who?
My uncle. He's a solicitor.
Oh, well, it takes all sorts. Now, sir, do you wish to say anything?
No. I mean, yes. I mean... I didn't know. I
didn't know the law?
Well, I didn't know this was railway property.
Well, of course you didn't. They, none of them do.
None of who?
All the others who pull in here for a bit of quiet snogging.
What do you mean, quiet?
I'll make a note of what you said, and you can tell it all to the magistrate. And now I'd like to see your driving license and certificate of insurance. What?
Come in, my dear Thursby. How are you, my dear fellow? How are you? What can I do for you? Have you come to talk about Pennythwaite and the Drum Bottling Company?
No, Grimes, no. As a matter of fact, I want your advice. I'm in a spot of bother.
Well, you sit down, my dear fellow, and tell me all about it.
Yes. I'm very worried.
Well, so it seems, my dear fellow, but what about?
Well, it's rather embarrassing.
Oh, don't you worry, my dear fellow. I'm old enough to be your father, aren't I?
Yes, Grimes.
Yes. Carry on, my dear fellow. Get it off your chest.
Well, Grimes, it's like this. I think you know that I've got two girlfriends.
Oh, it's the canoodling again, is it? Yeah, I warned you against that, my dear fellow. Except on Fridays, of course. Was it on a Friday?
It was, as a matter of fact.
Well, once a week's all right, my dear fellow. What's the trouble? You haven't?
No, of course not. Oh. I wouldn't dream of doing such a thing.
I'm very glad to hear that, my dear fellow. What is it?
I may be charged with leaving my car on railway premises.
You've been really good company, my dear fella. Privy Councillor got fined 40 shillings the other day for leaving his car outside the Reform Club. Only for 10 minutes, though. How long did you leave yours?
I didn't leave it. I was in it. Canoodling.
All three of you?
What? Certainly not. Just the two of us. That's the trouble. If the case comes to court, the other one will find out.
Oh, I see, my dear fellow. Oh, I see your difficulty. Yeah. Yeah, tell me, do you want to marry one of those girls? You can't marry them both, you know. No, not at one time.
Well, yes, I think I do want to marry one of them.
Yeah, but not the one that was out in the car.
No.
Yeah, it's definitely awkward for you, my dear fellow.
Well, perhaps I should make a clean breast of it to Sally.
She's the one you want to marry? Yeah, well, I'm not sure I should, my dear fellow. On the whole, women prefer not to know these things.
Oh, that's what Joy said.
Yeah, sensible girl. Why don't you marry her? Come in.
There's a solicitor to see Mr. Thursby, sir. Wants him to do a case for
you. Oh, good for you, Thursby, my dear. Unless it's Mr. Tewksbury again, is it?
No, sir. Mr. Merivale.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, Lord. Uncle Alfred.
Yes, your uncle, is he? Yeah. He's a useful fellow to have in the family. Well, you'll do well, my dear Philip. Thornton, Merivale, they've got a lot to work.
Well, sir, I'll be along in a minute, will you, Eric?
Right, sir.
Grimes, look, can you tell me how long I'll have to wait before I know definitely if I'm going to be summoned or not?
Oh, 6 months.
As long as that?
Oh, I'm afraid so, my dear fellow, but you forget about it now and go and see your uncle.
He's not my uncle, he's hers.
Oh, the one you want to marry?
No, the one in the car.
Ooh, awkward for you, my dear fellow, devilish awkward. But I expect Merivale's clients in even worse trouble than they are. So off you go and see him, my dear fellow. Off you go, off you go. Good luck to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Not at all, my dear fellow, you have my sympathy. Canoodling has its problems. Always had and always will have. Even on a Friday.
Please come in, Mr. Merivale.
How do you do, Mr. Thursby? Very pleased to meet you at last.
Thank you, sir. Me too. Do sit down.
Thank you. I've brought you a little case, Mr. Thursby. I think you'll find this one right up your street, from what my niece tells me. You know her pretty well, I gather.
Yes, I suppose you might call it pretty well.
And as time goes on, I dare say you'll begin to know her better, eh?
No. I mean, yes. Well, that is to say, well, it's possible, I suppose.
Well, from the way she speaks of you, I'd say it's highly probable.
Oh, would you?
So I hope we'll be seeing a lot more of one another, eh?
Yes, I certainly hope that.
Mm. Now, about this case, it's rather amusing. It's about parking a car.
Oh, parking a car?
Yes, in a sense. Although it was off the highway, and the client and his girlfriend were in the car all the time.
Oh, no.
Does that shock you, Mr. Thursby?
Was it a Friday?
I don't think so. No. It was Saturday, I believe.
Oh. Lovely. Yes, well, please go on, Mr. Merivale.
Well, now, the plaintiff's the owner of a public house, the Green Dragon.
It really is an extraordinary case, Sally.
I'm glad you're so keen, Roger. What's extraordinary about parking a car in the wrong place?
Oh, no, there's much more to it than that. I'll tell you, shall I?
Well, you were going to anyway, weren't you?
I thought you'd be interested.
I am, darling. Go on.
Well, there are these two pubs, you see. The Green Dragon on one side of the road, with a big car park. And opposite, there's the Royal Oak, with no parking space at all. Do you understand?
Roger, a child of 6 could understand that.
Could it? Oh. Well, an intelligent child, I suppose. Here you are.
Go on, darling. I'm waiting for the extraordinary bit.
Well, it seems a lot of Royal Oak customers have been leaving their cars in the Green Dragon car park.
I'm not surprised.
No. The landlord of the Green Dragon wasn't surprised either. He was annoyed. In fact, he was absolutely livid. So he decided to do something about it.
I don't see what he could do.
He put up a notice. Parking permitted.
Permitted?
That's right. And underneath, also in very large letters, it says, fees, £100 per hour or part of an hour.
You're joking.
Well, not absolutely true.
Well, in that case, I apologize.
What for?
Doubting you. This really is extraordinary. £100 an hour to park?
Except for his customers. That's written at the bottom of the notices. Except to genuine customers of the Green Dragon who may leave their cars without charge.
Can he do that?
He's done it.
I mean, is it legal?
Well, it's legal to put up a notice, but is it binding on people who leave their cars there?
I don't know. Is it?
Well, it takes two people to make a contract. Well, if someone didn't see the notice...
Well, you said it was in very big letters.
Oh, well, yeah, but anyone going past at night might easily miss it.
Well, isn't it lit up?
Oh, I don't know.
Then wouldn't it be a good idea to go and have a look for yourself?
Well, darling, you're back on form. Absolutely right as usual. Let's go. Should be along here somewhere.
Ah, here it is, Roger. The Green Dragon. Looks rather nice. And they've got a restaurant, too. Pull into the car park.
£100 an hour.
We could have a drink after.
Now, where have I heard that before?
I don't know, Roger, but I can guess.
What? Oh, yes, I remember. Don't guess, Sally. Forget it. Ah, now, there's the notice. Well, I must admit it's big enough.
And there's a lamp on top. I don't think anyone could fail to read it, even at night.
Yeah, but why should you read it if you don't choose to? And if you don't, it still takes two to make a contract.
But it's private property, isn't it?
Yes.
So if you're not a customer, wouldn't you be trespassing anyway? Like someone who parked on, say, railway property.
Sally, how did you know?
Know what?
You didn't know. You still don't. Well, the answer is yes.
Answer to what?
Yes, if you weren't a customer, you would be trespassing, but damages would be only nominal. I mean, £1 or 2, not 100. Hey, where are you going? It isn't after yet.
I don't know what you mean, Roger, but I'm going to read the small print of this contract, too.
What small print?
He's pinned a sheet of paper underneath the big notice.
Really? Well, nobody could possibly read that without going up to it.
Your client might have saved himself a lot of money if he'd gone up to it. Listen. At the South Norwood County Court on the 27th of June last, Judge Perkins gave judgment for £100 in favour of Leonard Mountain, landlord of the Green Dragon, against George Sinclair, who parked his car in this car park without going into the Green Dragon to have a meal or a drink. The judge said, there was, in my view, plainly a binding contract when he left his car there.
That's Tornet.
Are you in the same court?
Yes.
Same judge?
Yes.
Tricky. We'll have to put our heads together.
Fine, let's get back in the car.
I thought we were going to have a drink.
After.
After what?
Heads together. I do love you, Sally.
Do you, Roger? It rather depends on what you mean by love, doesn't it?
Now, where have I heard that? What? No. What about that? Kiss me, Sally. Kiss me.
Not now, Roger. We've got to talk about that case.
Must we?
Well, what was your client doing while his car was parked here? Drinking in the Royal Oak?
No. He was in the car with his girlfriend, canoodling.
For 2 solid hours?
An hour and a half, I believe.
£200 for a 90-minute canoodle. Why on earth didn't they have done with it and go to an hotel?
They're not married.
But what's that got to do with it?
Sally. These are my clients. They're not the sort of people who go to an hotel.
How do you know?
Because... Well, I don't know, actually. But if they were the sort of people to go to an hotel, they'd have gone to one, wouldn't they? I mean, it's all pretty uncomfortable in a car, isn't it?
Do you find it uncomfortable in a car, darling?
Not with you, darling.
Oh, who is it uncomfortable with, then?
Anyone else. I mean, no one else. I mean...
With Joy?
Joy, look, whatever makes you think I've been in a car with Joy?
Haven't you?
Well,
No, don't answer. You might tell the truth.
I never do that to myself. I'd always do that. I mean, look, darling, please don't let's quarrel. Joy means nothing to me.
Literally nothing.
Oh, well, I thought we were putting our heads together about this case.
All right, Roger, the case. It seems to me your only hope is to convince the judge that your client was a genuine customer.
But he wasn't.
Well, how do you know?
How do I... Come to think of it, I don't.
I don't suppose he was, really, after an hour and a half's discomfort in the car. But you might be able to persuade the judge that he would have been a customer if he'd been given a chance.
Sally, you're a genius! For heaven's sake, kiss me at once.
All right, darling, if you insist.
You're aware, I suppose, that I've already found in favour of this particular plaintiff in a similar case.
Oh, yes, Ron. I saw your advertisement.
What did you say, Mr. Thursby?
Oh, well, Your Honor, a friend of mine suggested that before I appeared in the case, I should go and have a look.
What did he suggest that you should have a look at?
Oh, it wasn't a he, Your Honor, I'm afraid. It was,
What did your aunt suggest, then?
My aunt, Your Honor?
Well, whoever the lady was.
Your Honor doesn't want to know.
Of course I don't.
Well, thank you, Your Honor. Let's say it was my aunt.
Please get on. What did she say?
Well, she suggested that I should go and look at the notice. So I did. And it was then that I saw Your Honor's advertisement.
Now you've said it again. My advertisement? What on earth do you mean?
My aunt was with me, Your Honor, and saw it too.
Neither of you saw any advertisement of mine, Mr. Thursby. Who ever heard of judges advertising?
Well, it did rather surprise me, Your Honor, but of course I hadn't been very long at the bar, and if Your Honor did, I'm sure it was quite all right.
I did not do it. And I have the faintest idea what you're talking about.
I could get a photograph of it, Your Honor.
What did this, this thing that you call my advertisement say?
I remember that quite clearly, Your Honor. It said what Your Honor just said.
Oh, what have I just said?
What the advertisement said, Your Honor.
I suppose if I asked you again, you'd give me the same answer.
Have I said something wrong, Your Honor?
I'll try once more. What was it that I just said?
The same as the advertisement. Oh, I see, Your Honor. You want to know what you just said.
That is what I asked.
It's awful. I'm so sorry. I'm afraid I'm being unusually dense.
Unusually?
Well, I hope so, Your Honor.
Well, we can agree on that. Now, would you be good enough to answer the question?
Your Honor wants to know what the advertisement said.
You're getting warm, Mr. Thursby.
It is rather, Your Honor.
What was actually written on this thing that you say was my advertisement?
That's easy, Your Honor. It said that Your Honor had given judgment for the landlord of the Green Dragon against a man called Sinclair in a similar case to this. As Your Honor just said. I remember now.
And that's what you call my advertisement?
Your Honour remembers putting it up there?
Mr. Thursby, it must have been Mr. Mountain who put it up, no doubt to discourage would-be Parkers.
Of course, Your Honour, I ought to have realised that.
Well, now the point is, do you object to this case being tried before me? Quite frankly, Mr. Thursby, I rather wish you would.
Oh, no! I should be delighted for Your Honour to try the case.
What about your client? He might object. There's a faint chance, I suppose.
Oh, no, Your Honour. He'll be advised by me, and I shall have no hesitation in advising him to be tried before Your Honour.
I feared as much. Well, Mr. Thursby, do you then agree that your client would be liable for £200 if he was not a genuine customer of the Green Dragon?
I think I must, Your Honour.
You'd better call your client.
Take the book in your right hand and repeat the words on the card.
Now, Mr. Bannister, tell His Honour exactly what happened from the moment you drove into the car.
Well, everything.
Everything relevant.
Everything relevant. Yeah, well, we just drove in, see, and, well, we've been there a while, like, this bloke come up and asked me what we was doing. So I asked him what business it was of his, see, and, well, he asked me if I got 200 nigger on me, and I told him to lose himself. and, like, we drove away. Now, that was all.
And before you drove off, you hadn't been into the Green Dragon?
No, sir.
Well, Mr. Thursby, what can you do about that?
Well, I wonder if I might ask another question of the landlord.
Any objection, Mr. Crane?
No, Your Honour.
Come back, Mr. Mountain.
Now, Mr. Mountain, I imagine you consider anyone who has a drink in your public house to be a genuine customer?
Certainly. A drink or a meal.
One drink's enough?
Certainly.
When a customer drives into your car park, you wouldn't mind, I suppose, if he cleaned the windows of his car before he came in for a drink?
No.
Or checked the oil?
No.
Or kissed his girlfriend?
That's not my business.
Exactly. It's not your business. As long as he's coming in to have a drink in your public house, you're quite happy to let him use the car.
Certainly.
Well, how do you know that my client wasn't coming in for a drink?
After an hour and a half.
All the more so, Your Honour. You get much thirstier after. What I mean is, Your Honour, some people prefer a drink before a kiss, and my client obviously preferred a kiss before a drink.
Which do you prefer, Mr. Thursby? No, you needn't answer that question. But your client didn't go in to have a drink.
No, because the landlord came up to him in the car park and he didn't like his attitude.
So your case, Mr. Thursby, is that your client was going to have a drink and was therefore a genuine customer.
Exactly.
But he hasn't said so.
Well, may I recall him, Your Honour?
What do you say, Mr. Crane?
No objection, Your Honour.
Come back into the box, please, Mr. Bannister. Now, Mr. Bannister, if the landlord hadn't come up to you just when he did, what would you have done?
Yeah, whose side are you on, mate?
You mustn't speak to counsel like that.
Well, he shouldn't ask me questions like that. I mean, with a young lady here and all.
I didn't want to know what you would have done with a young lady.
Then why did you ask?
Well, I simply asked you what you would have done.
There he goes again.
You see, I am not allowed to put words into your mouth.
Well, I didn't ask you to.
No, you see, I simply want to know, apart from the young lady, what would you have done if the landlord hadn't come up to you at that moment?
Apart from the young lady? I don't know what you mean. What are you getting at?
When you'd finished with the young lady, what would you have done?
Finished with the young lady? Whoever said I'd finish with the young lady? I mean, we're engaged. We only got engaged that evening, if you must know.
Oh, you got engaged that evening, did you? Wasn't that worth celebrating?
Of course it was.
How did you propose to celebrate it?
Here he goes again, my lord.
Behave yourself.
Now, Mr. Bannister, you see, there are various ways of celebrating an engagement, Mr. Bannister. Now, suppose you and I were friends and we were standing outside of the house and suddenly I told you that I got engaged to be married and that I thought of celebrating. What would you do?
Well, I'd wait for you, chum.
Wait for me to do what?
Well, ask me to have one.
Exactly. Well, then, on this particular occasion, when you were in the car park of the Green Dragon, how did you and your young lady propose to celebrate your engagement?
Oh, I see what you mean. By having a drink, of course.
Right. Where?
Well, at the nearest pub.
Where was that?
Well, there's two, actually. There's the Green Dragon and the Royal Oak.
Which was the nearer?
Well, there wasn't much in it.
So, if you hadn't been interrupted by the landlord, you might have gone to either public house to have a drink.
We did, as a matter of fact.
Well, you had a drink?
Yeah, several.
Where was the car all that time?
In the road.
And where did you go for your drink?
Well, first of all, we went to the Royal Oak.
First of all? Did you go anywhere else afterwards?
Yeah, we went to the Green Dragon.
Ah!
So you actually had a drink in the Green Dragon that evening?
Yes, sir.
But not till after you'd had one at the Royal Oak?
No, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Bannister. Mr. Thursby, this raises rather an interesting point, does it not? At the time your client was using the car park, he hadn't made up his mind in which public house he was going to have a drink. It was only after he'd removed his motor car from the car park that he had a drink in the Green Dragon. Was he then, at the time that he was in the car park, a genuine customer of the Green Dragon? Yes, I shall want to hear you on that, possibly at some length.
Sally, darling, you made it. Come in. Let me give you a drink.
Don't keep me in suspense, Roger. Who won in the end?
I did.
Darling, well done.
Not bad, was it? You know, it's rather nice to think that for once it's my clients who are feeling pleased with themselves.
I wouldn't be if I was them.
Well, Sally, why not?
I'd be pleased about the £200, of course. But I'd hate that awful publicity. Kissing car couple and all that.
Embarrassing, I suppose.
Far worse than embarrassing. It's the sort of thing I just couldn't bear. All those details coming out in court.
Well, Doug, you're not likely to find yourself in court for that sort of thing, are you?
Couldn't bear it if it was you, either.
Me?
With someone else.
A ridiculous idea. Who else could that be? I'm not expecting anyone.
You finish pouring the drinks. I'll go and see.
Right.
Roger, it's a policeman.
It can't be. It can. What's he want?
He's got a paper for you.
It is. Then, all right, I'm coming. Good evening, officer. What can I do for you?
Are you Mr. Roger Thursby of 14 Updike Court?
I'm afraid so.
Then I'm afraid I've got a summons for you, sir.
A summons? For me?
Motoring offence. Read it carefully, but I guess you know all about it. Good night, sir.
Do you, Roger?
Do I what?
Know all about it.
Look, it's nothing. It's just a parking offence.
It looks terribly important. Let me see, darling.
No. You would be interested.
Oh, I would. Oh, please, Roger. I've never seen a summons before.
Look, Oh, all right. I suppose it's bound to come out now.
Roger, you are a fool.
Don't tell me.
What did your mother say?
Mother? I haven't told her.
Well, I think you should have. After all, it was outside her house.
It wasn't. It was on railway pro... Sally, look. Give me that summons. Let's have a look. Leaving car unattended outside 30 Upchurch Avenue. Sally, darling, will you marry me?
Get the city, Roger. But you can take me out to dinner if you like.
Anyway, you say.
Why don't we celebrate your case by driving over to the pub?
What pub? Sally, you don't mean the Green Dragon.
Oh, why not?
I can't afford £100 an hour.
Well, you won't have to, will you, if we're genuine customers?
In that episode of Brothers-in-Law, the parts were played as follows. Roger Thursby, Richard Bryars. Grimes, John Glyn Jones. Sally, Julia Lockwood. Joy, Bridget Armstrong. Bannister, David Jason. The Judge, Gerald Cross. Everyone else, Sean Arnold and Douglas Blackwell. Polite Notice was written by Henry Cecil and Basil Dawson. The program was produced by David Hatch.